Good question for you this morning. Are you faithful in worship and in your service? Yeah? No? Let me clarify a little bit. What really brought you here this morning? What'd you come for? Was it your desire to fill your heart with more of Jesus? Was it the thought maybe of what God would give you? Did you pause and think what you might give back to God this morning in your worship and your praise? Is it thought of worshiping God or maybe the possibility of serving Him, worshiping Him through your service? You see, there's times that all we want to do is just worship God. We just want to take that moment, drop down on our knees or sit on our car seats or whatever it is and just overcome with that moment we want to worship because of who He is, because of the love that He just pours out upon us every day. And like that song said, every good thing comes from Him. But then there's that time that we should have that longing when we want to serve Him, demonstrate our worship through that service. And I want to talk a little bit about those things this morning. Let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 10. We'll start in verse 38 and go through 42. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached Him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will be not taken away from her.'" See, our message this morning involves faith in the service of the two sisters. In our text, Christ said that there was only one thing needful. But in our text this morning, He doesn't reveal what that is. But I think if we look at the story, we can figure it out on our own, what He wanted us to see. You see, Jesus and His disciples came to the town of Bethany, which was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And a woman named Martha invited Jesus into her house to eat. Now, she's thought to be a widow, and she lived with her brother Lazarus and her sister Mary. She received Jesus into her house in a courteous manner of the times. She had known Jesus before. She had heard of Him. She knew Him to be the Messiah when she welcomed Him in. And when Jesus entered her house, He began to preach. He began to talk to those that were there and those that came with Him. Now, Martha was busy getting things ready, fixing the meal, cleaning the house. But Mary, her sister, sat down at the feet of Jesus to listen, to hear what He had to say. And there it is. There's that needful thing that Jesus was talking about. And that's the Word. That's what He had to say. That's what He had to share. And that's the needful thing that we have today, is the Word of God. You know, we can't sit at Jesus' feet physically, but you're sitting at Jesus' feet right now because we're hearing the Word of God. We're sharing the Word of God together. So she sat at His feet with eagerness, ready to hear the Word. And why is that so important? So important because in this world we're in today, it's the Word of God that can only keep us moving ahead, staying straight with Jesus, understanding what He wants us to do. You see, the world's full of people that really have no priorities in life, that have no purpose in life, people that think they're more than what they are. At the other end of the spectrum, we have people that think that they're less than what they are. They suffer from low self-esteem, Christians included. But you see, the Bible, God's Word, shows us who we are in Christ and who we are in the world. Our text tells us that Martha was distracted by all the preparations he had to make. Just imagine, I could see what she was going through. Jesus Christ came to her house. She wanted the house clean and tidy. She wanted that perfect meal fixed. The table's dirty. The house is a mess. She's rushing around. You see, God was going to be sitting in her living room, and her sister was doing nothing to help. She chose to sit down at the feet of Christ. The scripture said, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You know, in today's language, that might be called ratting out your sister. But what did Christ do? He listened. But he didn't tell Mary to leave, to get up and help his sister. You see, Martha wasn't wrong in what she was doing, serving the Lord, getting things ready. But it was at that moment, it was a question of priorities. Is that really what she should have been doing instead of listening to the Word of God? That opportunity to sit at his feet and just listen? Jesus said, that's the one thing that's needful, to hear my word. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And then in verse 17 it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here it is again, that one thing needed, the Word of God. I'm afraid that in our lives today, we push that back on our list of priorities when it should be number one, the voice of God in our life. It says faith comes from hearing the Word of God. And how can you believe in something that you don't know? That's a great verse because it shows how God works to bring a person to him in faith. God uses that person to bring in other people. It's by that word that we expand, we grow, and we grow, and we grow. So today, how are your priorities? Does God and his word have first place in your life? Now be careful before you answer to yourself, because the devil is going to tempt you to think that you know it all. So why keep studying? He seeks to keep us out of the Word, to keep us separated. He's going to tempt us to sit in front of the TV set or in front of our computers or maybe just stay in our beds later in the day instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus, instead of opening up God's Word. You see, church services and the Bible studies we have here aren't the only top opportunities you have to sit at the feet of Jesus. You can do it at home on your own, and I encourage you to get your Bibles out. You know, I encourage you to put down your electronic Bible and pick up a bound Bible and read it. Just feel the pages and turn them and think about the Word. You know, I use an electronic Bible. There's nothing wrong with it. But sometimes just to feel that book in your hands, it becomes more intimate and more personable. You can feel God through your Bible. It forces you to focus as you turn the pages and read those words. So right now, you're seated at the feet of Jesus. We're here all together studying the Word, sharing the Word. But what about tomorrow or the next day or the next day or Saturday? Are you still going to be sitting at the feet of Jesus? Are you still going to hold your Bible in your hand? Because that's the needful thing, the Word of God. I say today, if you can't honestly tell me that you're going to be in the Word every day, then it's time to change the priorities in your life. Time to change the spiritual priorities, because that will make everything change. Because it's the one thing that's needful. This word teaches us about our past sins, about our future, about our need for a Savior. Then it shows us the path, how to get there. So how do I choose the best part? The first thing we need to do is establish those priorities. We need to make God number one in our life. You know, I say that all the time. God needs to be number one in your life before your husband, your wife, your family, before your job, before the TV set, the house payments, or the car payments. God needs to be number one. And that only can be done through a relationship that you have with Him. And that relationship comes through the written word, the needful thing. Our relationship with God affects every other thing in our life. It affects every decision that we make. It affects every schedule that we have in our life. It affects every relationship we have with everyone we've ever known or will know. It affects our whole outlook on life. Whether you're wallowing through that rotten life or you're standing on the highest mountaintop, your relationship with God determines all that. We should say on Sunday morning, I'm going to worship the Lord, and nothing will interfere with that. That's the day He calls us to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ and worship Him and lift Him up and praise Him. The songs that we sing are nice. The Bible studies we have are nice. But unless we're singing that song to God Himself, to Jesus Christ, then we're just spinning our wheels because we're doing it wrong. We're here to worship Him and not be entertained. And what about your families? They need to be a priority in life. Husband and wives, you need time together. You need time alone. I know how much you love your kids. They're the light of your life. But parents, sometimes you need time alone without the kids. That should be a priority in your life. I'm talking about time to worship together, to talk about your relationships with God, to talk about your relationship to each other. And you need to ask those hard questions. Where is God in our relationship? Put down the phones, turn off the TV set. It doesn't matter if you want to sit in a restaurant and share a meal or you want to sit on a couch at home. Husband and wives need time together. You see, there's problems that develop if you don't share, if you don't talk. Now, children, they should be a priority in your life. Take time to talk to them. Take time to make them the most important thing at that moment in time when you're focused on them and you truly listen to what they have to say. That you talk to them about God and about a relationship. Hopefully you can talk about husband and wife relationship and why you get along so well and why you're growing in the Lord. Just because you live in the same house doesn't mean that you're talking together. You know, from my own personal belief, I believe a lot of the problems we have in this world today is because parents aren't parents. They don't take the time to talk to their children, to explain right and wrong and reinforce the priority that God should have in their lives. Take the time to find out what's happening in your children's lives. Who's influencing them? Is it God or is it society? And what about work? Christians should be good workers. We should be an example in the workplace. We should honor the Lord in our workplaces. We should honor the Lord in our schools. So our priorities, we have to establish them. Where does God rank in your life? What do you push aside to make room for Him? Or do you push Him aside to make room for your busy work? I think the second thing we have to do is we have to learn to live for today. I think two of the greatest things that keep us from choosing the best, choosing to spend time in the Word, is the regrets we have for what we did in the past and the fears or the anxiety that we have for the future. Many of us live in the past, or we dream about the future. In the past, the thing of the past, good or bad or indifferent, they're gone. They're out of reach. There's nothing can be done to change what happened. It is what it is. We can't go back and change. We can't relive them. But you can't spend time with your regrets. That'll pull you down. You can look back with joy. We have to look ahead with preparation. You know, when I first started in the workforce, I looked ahead to when I wanted to retire and if I'd have money. And I started saving money. And I started looking forward to what I was going to do. But you know what? You can't worry about what you're being prepared for because God can change it at any time. I look at the things that can happen. Yes, I can prepare and I can be ready, but I can't worry if sickness is going to take it all away. I can't control that. Robin had a cousin, they were saving and growing, and they wanted to have a good future together. Robin's grandmother got sick and had to live with them. It caused a strain on not only the relationship, but financial strain, but they got through it. Robin's grandmother passed away, and you know, we all thought that Connie and her husband Bill would be able to move on and continue on those plans that they'd made about retirement and growing old together. It was just later that year that Bill died. All those plans, all them preparations that they made were a good thing. But you can't worry about them. You can't focus on them. Because God will take care of you. So many times these things slip out of our control. Our jobs change, the economy changes, our health changes. So don't worry about the things you can't control. Just trust in God. Trust in His Word. And what about today? You know, what can I say about today that you haven't heard 1,000 times? Maybe you're troubled by something that happened in the past. I guess the only thing I can ask, are you repentant? Have you asked for God's mercy and for His forgiveness? If your answer is yes, it's taken care of. Look it up. It's in the book. God has forgiven you so you can move on. You can move ahead. Maybe you're dealing with the consequences of a past sin. Look to God. He'll get you through it. He says that He will not allow more than you can bear. Look it up. It's in our book. It's in the Word. I want to ask you today, have you lost your joy? You know, I've heard that a lot from different people. Well, I've lost my joy. I just can't seem to find my joy. Well, don't look to your past. Look to today and look to God. God hasn't moved. He's right where He's always been. If you've lost your joy, then someone took it. You can call that someone Satan or the world or sin. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But you allowed it to happen because God hasn't moved. Yeah, it's kind of hard to hear. I allowed my joy to slip away. But it's the truth. God is right where He's always been. It's your focus that have changed. And you know what? You have the power today to get your joy back. All you have to do is refocus on God. And that's the needful thing. The book tells you how to do it. So turn to God and get rid of whatever is separating you from Him. And what about today? Are you on fire for the Lord? Praise God if you are. Do you feel the power of the Holy Spirit as He moves in you and directs you and leads you? I pray you are. Do you feel the comfort and the joy of a Holy Father? I'd like to stand up here and tell you I feel that fire every day. But I'd be a liar because I don't. Some days I wake up and I just don't feel like getting up. But then I turn to God and I pray. And I spend my morning time with Him. And I'll tell you the truth, I'm rejuvenated. Well, they say I feel my batteries recharged, and that is the truth. You can let the world weigh you down every morning, or you can turn to God every morning. This is the today. This is where you spend time in the Word, the needful thing. You sit at Jesus' feet and let Him lift you up. Well, first thing in the morning is God and my cup of coffee, but He lifts me up. And it's the same for every one of you, whether you realize it or not. This isn't exclusive. This is open to everyone. Mary chose the needful thing. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen to His Word. Through His Word, God gives us strength. He renews our faith. I was asked one time, well, I was told one time that you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. My answer was, you're half right. You don't need to go to church to be a bad Christian, meaning that you need the fellowship, you need the strength of fellow Christians to lift you up. You need the discussion and you need the Word. You need to gather together in worship to feel the power of the Holy Spirit and to feel the love come down. You need to gather together in corporate worship to feel the Lord fill this place. And I hope when you come here expecting that. Expecting when you walk through them doors, you're going to walk into the presence of the Lord. And if you don't, then you need to get back in the Word. You need to read a little bit more. You need the needful thing. Mary chose the good part. Christ is the substance of our life. And He's what guides us and lifts us up. Let's all stand together. Verse 42 says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. What we all need is to spend time with the Word. We need to spend time with Jesus Christ. We need to change our priorities so He's number one. Then everything else will just kind of come into place. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank You for this opportunity to sit at Your feet. Father, You lay Your Word out before us. We can read it any time we choose. We can speak to You anytime we come to You in prayer. Father, I pray for lives to be changed here today. Father, I just pray for hearts to be lifted up. I pray for our hearts to be open to Your Word, Father, and to be renewed from You. Father, I just pray for that power that comes from reading Your Word, that You would just pour Your blessings out upon these people. Father, I pray that You'll use us to spread the Word of Christ, that You will get us out of this room and out into the world to spread the light. Father, I know that we all love You, but I also know sometimes it's hard for us to express. And I just pray for everyone here this morning, we'll be free in our worship. We'll be free to express our love for you and to listen as you speak. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.